Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Well, we all did it. Congratulations. Ben Stein's movie Expelled opened on an all-time record, 1,052 screens nationwide. And for a documentary, now documentaries typically are not known for placing in the top 10 in the box office take for the weekend. And the latest figures are not yet in for yesterday, Sunday. But as of the results through Saturday, we have Expelled, No Intelligence Allowed, in the top 10. In fact, for the weekend through Saturday, it's number three, the number three movie at the box office. And it outperformed 88 Minutes, Al Pacino's 88 Minutes. And that's pretty cool because that movie just started this weekend, didn't it? I think it did. And I saw the movie myself 15 times. 15 times. American Right to Life had a movie marathon, and it was powerful. And so that was just a tremendous time. We're going to talk about the movie, and I'll have a guest in studio in a second. And also, big news in Colorado. Big, big, big news. It's in the Denver Post. It's on their website. And I suspect, since it was the top story for most of the day at thedenverpost.com, I suspect it'll be in their print edition tomorrow. But Colorado Right to Life offered to meet with U.S. Republican Senate candidate Bob Schaefer, who's had the support of the pro-life movement for years, because they offered to meet with him because he has supported China for most favored nation trading status. And of course, China is guilty of forcing women to have abortions. And that scandal has erupted again because of Bob Schaefer's role in the Mariana Islands 10 years ago. So anyway, that story, we will talk more about that story as the week goes on. Colorado Right to Life asking Bob Schaefer to change his position and oppose China for their forced abortion on Chinese women. Now, in studio to rescue me, I'm having a hard time talking here, and someone who also took part in the American Right to Life movie marathon is Will Duffy, founder of the Collaborators Project. Will, did you like the movie?
Hey, Bob, 14 times. 14 times is how many times I saw the movie. You got me beat.
By one, I saw it 15 times. That's as many as I could see it.
But I loved it. It was tremendous. It was fabulous. It was amazing. If you didn't see the movie this weekend, well, that's just a shame.
You got to go out and see it. Now, Will, at our church, the movie, I think it was the number one movie at our theater. It was number three nationwide. But in Arvada, Colorado, I believe it was number one. I know it outperformed the national average significantly. In Denver Bible Church, the whole church went to see the movie Sunday morning. It was really a blast seeing the theater packed with so many Christians having a fabulous time watching Ben Stein's movie Expelled. And in fact, show after show after show, after every movie, what did we do? We got to talk to the whole audience.
Yeah, it was great. People just wanted to talk about the movie. And
yeah, and we got over 100 signatures. We could have gotten more, but we were so busy engaging the audience with these fascinating subjects that are brought up in the movie. But we got over 100 signatures for Colorado's Personhood Initiative. So that was also great. Gave out about 250 DVDs promoting the movie. We had a really good time.
Yeah, it was a great audience for the Personhood Amendment and to get signatures. Don't get that wrong. It's a pro-life movie.
It was a pro-life movie, big, big-time pro-life movie. And the conclusion of the movie at Denver Bible Church, I told the congregation, I'm not going to give away the conclusion. But this is not a captive audience. You know, people listen or they don't listen to the radio show. Once you're at church and sitting down in a pew, why do they call them pews? I never figured that. And when you're sitting down in a pew, It's too late, your captive audience. But I'd like us to give away the conclusion of the movie.
All right, let's do it.
I don't think it ruins it for anybody. So Richard Dawkins, he's well known.
Yeah, did he write a book?
Yeah, he wrote a book, The God Delusion.
That's right, The God Delusion.
But he's supposedly a scientist. What is he doing writing about God? What does he know about God? He's not a theologian. He's not an expert in philosophy.
Not at all.
but he writes The God Delusion, and he argues that there is no God, there is no intelligent design, Darwinism explains everything, and Ben Stein, at the end of the movie, has this conversation with him, and he is fully engaged. Would you agree? Was he, like, caught off guard on the topic?
Not at all. Fully engaged with Ben Stein.
He is fully engaged in the conversation. The atheist and the evolutionist, to save themselves, they know what a PR nightmare this movie is for them. They want to say that there was editing tricks, or that Richard Dawkins did not know the topic that they were going to discuss. And it is just so unbelievably absurd to think that that's a possibility. Now, could you tell the audience about the conclusion? And I need to step out of the studio for 1 minute. As you know, Will, we've been talking to the media 5 times in the last 3 days about pretty significant stories. But what happened at the conclusion that blows away the atheist and the evolutionist? And I'll be right back.
Yeah, so the end of the movie, basically the climax of the movie, it's totally unexpected. Throughout the entire movie, there's clips of Richard Dawkins, who was already interviewed by the producers of the movie. And so you basically get Richard Dawkins' take on everything. You learn about him, his book, The God Delusion, and his atheist evolutionist viewpoints. And so the end of the movie, Ben Stein is hoping to somehow break down this wall. And this wall is, you know, it's looked at as kind of like the Berlin Wall. The Berlin Wall was, you know, lacked freedom on one side. And so now this movie is trying to explain how there's a wall that's been built in America, and you're only free to think on one side. And this wall is in the area of science, and you're only free to think on the evolutionist side. If you want to be free to think intelligent design, creationism, etc., you can't in this country. And so Ben Stein's goal, towards the end of the movie, he figures out that the best thing he can do is to somehow try and break down the wall, make a piece of the wall. And so his goal is to talk to one of the main builders of the wall, and that's Richard Dawkins. And so he's having this interview with Richard Dawkins. It's the climax of the movie.
Yeah, it really is.
And what Richard Dawkins says is just a total shock and a total surprise.
Yeah. Will Duffy, how many times? You saw it 14 times this week. I saw it 15 times. Every time it was startling. Because here are these scientists, one after another, journalists, scientists, being fired, being blackballed, because they dare to suggest that intelligent design might be the answer to how life originated on Earth. They dare to say that microbiology and the complexity of DNA might suggest intelligent design, and they're fired. And what does Richard Dawkins come out and say?
Hey, Bob, what makes movies exciting is when the good guy wins at the end.
Yeah, that's right.
But what made this one exciting 14 times for me and 15 times for you was not only that the good guy won, this movie is real. This movie is what's going on right
now.
It's real.
It's not make-believe. And this is the most fundamental issue that mankind wrestles with. Is there a God? Is there a creator? And so here is Ben Stein asking Richard Dawkins, the most famous atheist evolutionist in the world, you know, made millions of dollars with his books, and especially the latest, The God Delusion. And he asks him, so Richard, is it possible that intelligent design might explain why there's so much complexity in the cell and the genome and evolution? Is it possible that intelligent design might explain life on Earth? And how does Richard Dawkins answer?
In many words, Richard Dawkins said yes.
He said yes. He said, well, it could come about in this way. The evidence may show, as we look at the complexity, as we look at the genetic mechanisms, that might be evidence that a long time ago, far, far away, in another galaxy, that there was a civilization that evolved by Darwinian means, and that civilization, they designed life and seeded it on our Earth. So then he actually says it could be that a higher intelligence from somewhere out there came and designed life on Earth. And that is this, I mean, people get fired. Their careers are ruined for saying that. And he is the world's leading atheist evolutionist.
Basically, Bob, Richard Dawkins was admitting that there very well may be evidence right now that this Earth has been intelligently designed.
That's right.
That's what he was admitting.
Life on Earth. That's absolutely right. And for the reason he would admit that is because the force of the argument of the wild complexity and sophistication of the genetic code is impossible. It's virtually impossible to show the life within the cell to neutral people and say, do you think this all evolved by chance, random mutation, and natural selection? Or was there a designer to this? The vast majority of people will say there must have been a designer. And as it turns out, an increasing number of the world's leading biologists are wrestling with this and will believe there must have been a designer.
How exciting.
Yeah. It's just, it's extraordinary.
I don't think the makers of the movie could have asked for anything more amazing than to get Richard Dawkins to admit
right.
that intelligent design could be true.
Right. That's absolutely right. And why would he admit that? If there was some plausible other possible scenario of how DNA in the cell could start to evolve, and you see, it can't because the DNA has the instructions for building the cell. And the cell can't function without the DNA, and the DNA can't exist or function without the cell. They're mutually dependent on one another. It's simply impossible for these things to happen. And as we learn more, the level of sophistication blows people away. I mean, people who have studied this for 30 years, it blows them away.
That includes me, Bob. I had no idea how complex the cell really was. And in the movie, we get a computer-rendered video of the cell.
Mm-hmm.
And I enjoyed watching that all 14 times.
Yeah. To see it on a wide screen in a theater, that cell animation of the life in the cell, it's so extraordinary. And so it's powerful. It's very powerful. Our phone number here, 1-800-8-NYARDS, 1-800-836-9278. So the claim by atheists and evolutionists that Richard Dawkins was somehow misrepresented because of the editing, or he was tricked about the topic of discussion, those claims are so obviously untrue.
From everything I've read online, no one who was actually in the movie, who was actually quoted in the movie, their interviews were put in the movie, has come out and said that Expelled did a chop job on their words. They have not come out themselves and said that.
That's not what I meant. What I really meant was, right? Richard Dawkins could say, oh, I didn't mean that there might have been intelligent design from aliens. I didn't mean to say that. What I really said was XYZ.
And what's funny is he can't do that because there's so much video.
Right.
It's like a whole conversation.
Before and after the quote. It's this. He was engaged in the topic. It's so obvious that this is what he said. And they say, well, we didn't know it was an intelligent design movie. Tough, you cowards. You wouldn't have been in it. I mean, you only want to be interviewed by reporters giving you softballs. What, you're afraid of a little cross-examination? You're afraid of someone holding your feet to the fire and saying, okay, Richard, how did life begin? And he says, well, I know how it must have happened, but no one knows really. And then he says, well, it could be that complexity in the cell, in the genome, the genetics, could be evidence that life was originated on Earth by a higher intelligence from somewhere out there in the universe.
What's funny, Bob, is the movie opens up with Richard Dawkins saying that evolution is a fact like any other fact that we know today. And then the movie ends with him realizing that there is no evidence revolution. Intelligent design is on the right track.
Right.
And so he has got to admit that it may be true and then come up with this wild idea that it was an alien.
Aliens. And so, I mean, the power of it, you can't overstate the power of this movie and that there is a crisis among molecular biologists. And the reporters like Larry Wortham of the Washington Times and other biologists who all said that when you go to a science conference, you meet with these guys. If they trust you, if they've had two or three beers, they're going to admit that there is a crisis in molecular biology because to do their research, they assume that it was all designed. And by making that assumption, that helps them with their research, but they cannot speak publicly that they assume it was designed. They can't say it because they'll be fired. It's powerful. It's exciting. I'm just thrilled by the movie. And it's hard to say how this will affect scientists in the future and journalists, because who will be the next scientist to be fired because he thinks there might be intelligent design? I mean, now he's going to be able to quote Richard Dawkins and say, Richard Dawkins thinks there might be intelligent design. And there are an increasing number of scientists who say maybe it was designed by aliens, but the evidence is that it was designed.
Hey, Bob, if anybody is going to be fired for this from here on out.
Right.
That's
going to be big.
That dean of that school,
yeah,
is going to think about expelled before making that decision.
He's going to think,
want to be on expelled too?
Right, on the sequel. It's going to be big. And I'm not saying it's not going to happen, but this is going to change the dynamics. They're not going to think they're going to be able to fire someone who believes in a creator and just get away with it in the dark and secret in a back alley. It's going to be known all over the country. And so, you know, when Richard Dawkins and the co-discoverer of DNA, Francis Crick, won a Nobel Prize for discovering the double helix, and the many other scientists who say, well, it's so complex, it must have been aliens, right? Don't they realize? I mean, they're intelligent, right? Don't they realize they're not answering the question? They're just punting. That's not an answer, because if biological life is too complex to be able to have started by random chance on Earth, well, then it's just as complex on another galaxy. They're not answering the question. They're just punting. And they actually think they're answering the question. That cracks me up.
Yeah, it does. And they're going to have to realize that there is no evidence for aliens. They think there's no evidence for God. They're going to have to admit that the probability of it being an alien is the same as the probability of it being God.
And, you know, they say, well, there's evidence that it's too complex. It couldn't have arisen here. It had to be seeded by aliens, by a higher intelligence somewhere out in the universe, but because it couldn't have happened here. There's no conceivable way for it to have happened here. But then what they're doing is they're validating the whole intelligent design argument by saying that. And if they think life on Earth began about 4 billion years ago, well, the whole universe, they say, is only about 15 billion years old. And stars, they don't live for 15 billion years. They think they are born and they live out their lives and they die. So it's not like somewhere else in the universe they get 100 trillion, trillion, trillion years. It's just not the case. Let's go to the phones. Our number is 1-800-8-N-YARDS. That's 1-800-836-9278 in Longmont. Bill, welcome to Bob and Yurt Live. Hi, Bill.
Hey, Bob. How are you today?
Doing great.
Hey, I saw Expelled on Saturday evening. Took my whole family.
All right.
My 12-year-old son really liked it. My 11-year-old daughter was a little bored. But,
okay.
You know, that's the way it goes with documentaries. But,
sure, absolutely. Yeah. We had our three young boys watched it. I think they enjoyed it.
I love this movie. It was amazing to watch. My wife liked it, which is surprising. She doesn't go for this stuff very much. She really enjoyed it. But the other thing I've been reading, and I looked a little bit at some blogs, the left hates it. They hate it that he tied Darwinism to Nazism and eugenics and all that. They just hate it.
Yeah, and the fact that the Nazis themselves said that we have disobeyed the law of natural selection and we must not let the weakest organism survive. The Nazis themselves said that's what they were doing, upholding Darwinism, and they were helping the evolution of the human race. I mean, that was their justification that they gave. And so Eugenie Scott at the National Center for Science Education, she wants to say, oh, there were other reasons, like they had to pay reparations for World War One. Well, yeah, a lot of countries have had to pay reparations after losing a war. But this is the reason the Nazis gave for doing this.
Right.
So to say it had no factor, it factored in not at all, is insane. And you know what Eugenie Scott said just in the last few days about this? She said it was the anti-Semitism. Of course it's anti-Semitism, but that doesn't explain the 200,000 Germans who were euthanized, Germans, not Jews, the blind, the deaf, the dumb, the mute, the lame, that were euthanized.
Expelled didn't even really talk about the Jews. He talked more about the disabled that they were killing.
That's right. When they went to Hadamar, where 15,000 patients were euthanized, they weren't prisoners. They were patients. They were killed because they were handicapped. And that was the Germans trying to to make up for violating the law of natural selection and use the principles of Darwinism for the benefit, for the good of the human race. That's what they were doing in killing 200,000 Germans, trained them so they could go on to kill the Jews.
Hey, Bob, the director of Hadamar Memorial, Jutta George, she said they did this because of Darwin.
Yeah, Darwinism. Yeah. They followed Darwin and their own German scientist, and they made this case that we've been violating the law of natural selection because we've been helping handicapped people survive. And they consider that a violation of the survival of the fittest. And in fact, Bill, I'm sure you know the name of the founder of Planned Parenthood. The movie showed Margaret Sanger. And in Margaret Sanger's own words on our website, kgov.com, you could go right to one of her books at Google Books. And she speaks of the blind, the deaf, the dumb, the mute, and the lame, which are the dead weight of human waste. And that comes straight out of Darwinism. In fact, Ben Stein read a quote from Charles Darwin's book from 1871, The Descent of Man. And he basically said, how do we dare let feeble people and how do we let them breed? Surely it destroys, it hurts the human race. What rancher would let their worst animals breed? And yet we humans, we let the worst humans breed. That is racism. And it's the worst of eugenics wrapped up in Charles Darwin.
Yep. And I noticed that the director of the museum, she couldn't make a judgment on the doctor whether what he was doing was wrong or not.
Well, she said, she didn't say that, but you're pretty close. She said, I don't feel it's my role to say anything to him. Now think about that. He slaughtered 15,000 patients. The nurses brought them to their deaths in gas chambers.
Yep.
She could have said, sir, do you know what you did was evil and you have brought shame to our nation like no nation has ever been shamed? She could have said that, but her broken English was her version of judge not.
Yes.
Who am I to tell a mass murderer that what he did was wrong? Who am I? Yeah, very good, Bill.
Yep, highly recommend the movie for anyone that wants to see it. As soon as this thing's out, I'm going to buy it.
Oh, yeah, me too. I agree, and I pray Brian Robaugh's interview's in there.
Yeah, I was wondering if they were going to connect anything with school shootings.
Yeah, well, they
never did.
A year before production, the executive producer came out and met with, he contacted Brian Robaugh, Columbine Dad. Brian urged them, in a three-hour meeting, he urged them to connect the dots between evolution, atheism, Nazism, eugenics, Planned Parenthood, Margaret Sanger, and abortion. And you know what, Will? They did the whole thing.
They did.
They did the whole thing. And then once they started filming, they came out and they filmed an interview with Brian. Mark Mathis, associate producer, did that. And they did tell us, Walt Ruloff, executive producer, told us, Bill, that they may include some of that material in the extended version on the DVD. We pray that they do.
Yeah. Hey, I have one more question for you, and then I got to hang up. About the movie, to me, it felt as if the guys who are on the intelligent design side sounded more intelligent with their arguments. I mean, you compare him to the guy who said, well, the life molecule started by growing on the backs of crystals.
That was hysterical.
Well, he said, well, but how did it happen? Well, I just told you. It grew on the back of crystals.
Yeah, Ben Stein is asking one of the world's leading evolutionist biologists, well, how did life begin? And he said, on the backs of crystals. And I'm thinking, not on the fronts. Why not the fronts? Why the backs? He said, on the backs of crystals. And Ben Stein said, now, how did it happen? And he said, oh, I just told you.
Were you listening?
Yeah, it's just hysterical. They have no answers because they're godless. And when you're godless, you have no answers. Thank you so much, Bill.
Yep.
Appreciate that. So, Will, we're about out of time. There's so much. I want to talk through this movie at length. The movie is a bit schizophrenic because it goes to the intelligent design people and they stress that they're not talking about God. And the second half of the movie makes the argument, if there's no God, you have no moral foundation. And basically, you become evil.
Hey, Bob, my favorite quote in the movie, questions left unanswered don't go away.
Ooh, questions left unanswered don't go away from Biola University. All right, Will, that was great. Maranatha Christian Center, what a fabulous school in Arvada, Colorado. Maranatha.
Hi, I'm Bob's brother, Brian. I moved my remodeling business, Fancy Schmancy Renovations, to Colorado. You can call me to improve the look and value of your home and support Bob Enyart Live at the same time. I have nearly 30 years' experience beautifying homes. So whether you're in the market for a new kitchen, a bathroom makeover, or maybe a new front door, you'll be pleased with the results and happy to know that all the proceeds will go directly toward keeping Bob on the air with the truth. Yes, I said... Well, wait a second. That's 5% of the proceeds. That's not... I said 5% of the proceeds, Bob, not all. Anyhow, so call for a free estimate to see if we can help you with your next home improvement project. And don't forget to mention that you heard about us on Bob Enyart Live. Call us, Fancy Schmancy Renovations, at 720-641-7033. That's 720-641-7033.